So in this sloka, especially, Draupadi, the most chaste woman in the earth, is pleading Arjuna to not kill the Guru Putra Ashwatthama. Ashwatthama, who just killed the 5 sons of Draupadi, who was crying, lamenting beforehand, and Arjuna vowed that I will bring the Brahmana's head, until then you stay here, and I will pacify you after that only. And Arjuna has left to get Ashwatthama. Anyways, Ashwatthama has cut, will go to that in detail, little bit brief to the Mahabharata. Understanding this sloka, it will be better if we touch base with the Mahabharata, where how this episode has taken place. But in this sloka, Draupadi is arguing, or giving her argument, or pleading Arjuna to not kill Ashwatthama. Ashwatthama was a Atatai. Atatai is in the description in Sanskrit. Srila Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavad Gita that there is 6 type of Atatais. Atatai who poisons others is called a Atatai, the number one. One who is set a fire on someone's house is also an Atatai. One who attacks with deadly weapons, that's also a Atatai. Number 4, one who plunders, that's also Atatai. One who occupies others' land, he's also Atatai. And the 6th number, one who kidnaps others' wife, is also Atatai. Ravana. We can see the example here, he got killed. So this kind of Atatai should be punished to death, according to the Vedic scripture. But here, we can't punish, that's the law provides, if the law of the country does that, that can happen. So, Draupadi is saying that Kripi, the wife of Dronacharya, hasn't gone through the sati. Generally, maybe some of you remember or know, in India, until I would say 1980s, there used to be called sati pratha. The woman of a dead husband, widow, was voluntarily going to the fire and killing herself. So now there is a law in India that nobody can do that. That was not prescribed for this age. That was for only the age of Dwapara or Satyuga or Treta Yuga. But for Kali Yuga, that's not prescribed at all. So Kripacharya's wife, Kripi, hasn't gone through the sati, because if someone has a son who is able to take care of the woman, the widow, then they will not go for that kind of process. So Draupadi is arguing that, you know, she hasn't gone for the sati because she has a son. Now if you are killing him, what will be happen? She will go for again sati. The same thing. I'm weeping here, death of my 5 sons, and here she will cry and she will go for the sati. Same thing, how a husband dies, a widow goes to the fire and killing herself. So that's why please don't do that. In the previous locus, Draupadi is saying that you have learned the Dhanurveda from Dronacharya. How can you kill his son? So please don't kill him. Just the sloka 44, it was explaining that you have learned the Dhanurveda from Dronacharya. Dronacharya is the teacher of Arjuna. Arjuna learned all the weapons, all the Dhanurveda. And he should not kill his son. That's what Dronacharya's son, that's what he sees Draupadi is pleading. Although in the battlefield, Arjuna has killed, Dhrishtadyumna has killed Dronacharya, but Arjuna was very angry. The way Dronacharya got killed, Arjuna was not so happy with Dhrishtadyumna. He was about to kill him, and Krishna somehow saved him. Anyways, this is the way how Draupadi is pleading to not kill him and release him immediately. Although a person who is Atatai killed 5 innocent kids, those are 17, 16, 18, at that kind of age, they were sleeping. Not only that, they were sleeping at night. And he has gone with a sharp sword. We'll go to that in a brief discussion we'll have. And he killed all the sons. 5 sons, they were sleeping. So, this is the situation in this sloka. And we'll go back to the Mahabharata a little bit. How this episode started? This started after the Mahabharata battlefield. Everyone, all the Kauravas has died. Only 3 people left. Anybody know who left? Yes. Yes. And Kritabarma. So 4 people left. Only 4 people left. And Pandavas, they had already won. Achyuni still, the soldiers still left. But all the soldiers from Kaurava side, they have died. Although the Pandava side, the warriors are very little compared to the humongous warriors from the Kaurava side. But due to the arrangement of Krishna, all the warriors from the Kaurava side, they have died. Even the 99 brothers of Duryodhana has died. Only Duryodhana left. So what happens? Duryodhana has left the cottage where all the warriors live for the night time they rest and daytime they start fighting. So after the 18th day, the battle has stopped because nobody has come for fighting. But the Pandavas, they thought that the battle hasn't been stopped unless they find Duryodhana and they have to fight with him. Because as long he is alive, the war is on. It never stops. So he has to be found. And what Duryodhana has does, this on the 18th day, he has gone near Kurukshetra. There was a big reservoir, water reservoir. And he has gone. His whole body was burning. Burning in the sense, burning with so many emotionals. Duryodhana was not hiding. His whole body was burning. So much emotional, he is crying. He is not crying so much for his 99 brothers, but crying for Karna, a great friend. Even he knew that the Pandavas are the brothers, and still he fight against the Pandavas. So that's why it was burning his heart, burning his whole body. He was wounded. All over the body, there is so many arrows. And what he has to do? He has gone to the water reservoir and just to let you know that Duryodhana has the power to stay in the water for a very long time. He could stay in the water for so many hours, so many days without coming out. So he had that mastery in his whole life. So he has gone to the water, the Dvaipayana reservoir, and he stayed there to cool his body and thinking what he has to do next course of action to attack the Pandavas. In this meantime, Sanjaya has realized that he is hiding there. He is not hiding although he is in the water, because Sanjaya had the divine eyes to see the whole battlefield, whatever it was happening, and he was reporting to the king Dhritarashtra. So in this case, Sanjay has come to the Kurukshetra and he's looking for Duryodhana and asking, please come out from the water. Your father is looking for you. Everyone is looking for you. And Duryodhana, from the water, he speaks that, please, Sanjay, you know, leave me alone right now. Please tell my father that I might not come back again home. Please tell Mother Gandhari, my dear mother, that all this life, my whole lifetime, I didn't made her happy. She was against the war, she was against whatever I was doing. And please ask forgiveness on my behalf. So that way Sanjay has left. But in this meantime, some hunters, they were around the reservoir and they were hearing the loud talk between Duryodhana and Sanjay. So they immediately went to the Pandavas camp, informed King Yudhishthir that he is in the water reservoir and he is hiding there. Krishna and Yudhishthir, they said that we can understand Duryodhana can make all cruel plans to kill us, but Duryodhana is not a coward. He will never ever go to the water and hide. There must be some other reason. Let's find out. And let's do the last thing. We have to kill him, then only the war will be on our side. We will win. Victory will be our side. So they went to the reservoir and Bhima loudly calls Duryodhana for come for fight. And Duryodhana comes out. He has his club. It's important point to tell you that Duryodhana was the direct disciple of Lord Balaram. He learned the club fight directly from Lord Balaram. Balaram is very powerful and he was the one who taught the club fight. And here, one side, the most articulate and experienced club fighter, and the other side, there is a very powerful man, Bhima. Although he is not so equal to Duryodhana with the art of fighting the club, but he was immensely very strong. He was very strong that the club, the beating of the club by Duryodhana will not affect him so much. So there was a big fight. Big fight that nobody understand what's going to happen. Who is going to win? At one point, Duryodhana falls on the ground and another time, Bhima on the ground and they are fighting and defeating, they are protecting themselves with their club. So the fight has gone for a very long time and nobody is winning. Then the reason why Duryodhana was not winning, although Bhima was very powerful, he's carrying a very heavy club compared to Duryodhana. And by each stroke he was hitting hard, Duryodhana would fall on the ground, but he will not get hurt. There was a reason. Mother Gandhari has given the final benediction to Duryodhana. On the 16th day of the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Mother Gandhari said that, I would like to see you. I never saw anyone throughout, before my marriage till date. I have 100 sons. I never opened my eyes. And you go, take a bath and come back, and I will see your whole body. You come with naked. Come naked. Don't wear anything. So that Gandhari can open her eye, the folded eye, she can open and see. Gandhari She's another very chaste lady. She can give that kind of benediction and somebody can be really, really powerful. So for the son, she said that, you know, I have lost 99 sons. I have nothing, none left. I want to see you. The only son you are left, I want to see you alive. So you come naked and I will give you a benediction that you will, your whole body will be act like a vajra. Vajra means the weapons will not affect, any weapons will not affect. So Duryodhan accepted that, he has gone, he has taken a shower and he was coming with naked. And here is Krishna. Krishna realized that this should not happen. If he is going to be getting this benediction, then what will be happen? Bhima will die. So he meets right a bit close from the house of Gandhari and says that, you know, brother, where you are going? What you are doing? You are naked. What happened to you? So Duryodhan somehow he couldn't hide the reality. He said that my mother called me, come naked, so that she will give me some benediction. So Krishna says that, you know, you have to understand that you are grown up. You are not a baby anymore. A baby can go to the mother with naked, that's fine. Otherwise it is very offensive going in front of the mother naked. So please don't do this. No, he didn't say that, please don't do this. He said that, a baby should go, but a grown-up, son should not go naked in front of the mother. Duryodhan really thought, which is true, it's very offensive going in front of the mother fully naked. So he has put some leaves on his thigh area, the abdominal area, to cover. He came before Mother Gandhari and Gandhari opened her eyes and she glanced all over the body and she said that now your body is, so strong that no weapon can, penetrate your body. But I told you come naked, fully naked. Why didn't you come? She said that, he said that, no, because, I'm grown up. I should not come like this. This is really not nice. And Gandhari was so disappointed, said that, I wish you could have listened. Your whole life you never listened to anyone. But this time also I was trying to do something nice. I hope you would have listened to me. But which part I couldn't see, that part remained very weak. So in the final battle between Bhima and Duryodhan, the fight was going on very the powerful clubs hitting on each other. They are trying to protect, and Duryodhan was not affected at all with the club. And here Krishna again indicates Bhima that, hit the thigh. And Bhima was on the ground. By the time Krishna was saying that he hit the thigh, so he was on the ground. And Bhima took his club and swing that fast and hit the thigh, it broke both of his thighs. And he was on the ground and shouting, screaming, and saying that, you are a coward, you hit me. According to the law of the club fight, you should supposed to hit me above the navel. Why you hit me on the below the navel? So there was big talk, then all of a sudden Lord Balaram appears and he was so angry seeing Bhima has hit Duryodhan on his thigh. He was about to kill Bhima. Now what he can do? In front of Lord Balaram, Bhima has no power. He kept quiet. And Krishna interferes and says that, No. Bhima, he has done the right thing. Then Lord Balaram was angrily saying that, how he has done right thing? This is against the law. This is against the principle. So he can't hit below the navel. How it can happen? Krishna says that, dear brother, you must remember Bhima has taken a vow that at the time when Draupadi, the most chaste woman, was, her sari was pulled by Dushasan, and Duryodhana was saying that you come and sit on my lap. That was the most cruel thing to do. First thing, it was really cruel to call a woman in the assembly of the men and pulling the saris, and then on the top someone is saying that sit on my lap. So that was the most cruel thing. And Bhima has taken a vow on that day, said that the day I will break your thigh, the same thigh you are sewing here, then I can be peaceful. He has taken another vow also about Dushasan, that the day I will kill you, I will drink your blood, and then I will be satisfied. That much the anger, you can see the anger. Why this much anger? Generally, a Kshatriya don't get so angry quickly like this. They get angry whenever it is necessary, but from the childhood, the whole kingdom was King Pandu. The crown prince should supposed to be Yudhishthir, but it was very injustice have taken place. So Dhritarashtra become king due to some reason. Pandu has to die for some reason, and his son immediately take the crown prince role. So that was the injustice from the beginning. And on the top, they have created so much trouble. The lark house, they sent for a holiday, and they wanted to kill, they want to burn the lark house. Bhima was poisoned. They have to go to the forest. Jai Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda, Sri Sri Sitaram Lachmana Hanuman, Sri Sri Gaunitai Ki. So all these difficulties they have gone through, even though King Yudhishthir, Gandhari and other brothers, they are a bit quiet, but Bhima was very vocal. He was taking this vow. So anyways, Duryodhana was on the ground, and then they left him for dying. In this meantime, while the fighting was taking place, Kritabarma, Aswatthama and Kripacharya, they were hiding and looking at the fight. After everyone left in the evening time, they came and they talked to Duryodhana. Duryodhana haven't died yet, and they came to see. They were so scared that, you know, if anyone somehow found out, then they can attack us. So that's why they didn't go. So they finally approached in the evening and met with Duryodhana, and Duryodhana was crying, lamenting, weeping, out of pain, because you can see the man who used to be get everything whatever he wished. He was the crown prince. He was the king actually. King Dhritarashtra was only the namesake. And now here he is in the battlefield and bleeding, and he couldn't do anything. The most powerful, he was thinking he can do anything, and here he has no power. So he is crying and talking to these three, Aswatthama, Kritabarma and Kripacharya. Aswatthama got so angry, he said that Bhima shouldn't have done that, and I will punish all the Pandavas. He made his mind that he will go attack. But how he will attack? He doesn't have that kind of power to do so. But anyways, at night they have lay down under a banyan tree. They were tired, but Aswatthama couldn't sleep. Aswatthama was still thinking, how can I take the revenge of my master? So he made his mind that Aswatthama, Duryodhana is the master, because he was giving everything what I needed. So he saw at night there was an owl came and attack a bird's nest and kill all the birds and ate them. So that was the scene he has seen at night. While he saw that, he got the a lesson that, you know, I have to attack at night. Although the war rule was set by Bhishma Dev that the war will be take place only the beginning of sunrise and end of the sunset. That will be the war time. The battlefield will carry on. But at night, nothing will happen. But that was against the principle Aswatthama has decided. And he told the two others, Krita Parma and Kripacharya, that let's go attack at night. And they are also agreed with his point. And the whole day, what they did, Aswatthama has prayed to Lord Shiva to pacify him and give the benediction to kill anyone comes at night. End of the day, Lord Shiva has given a big sword and said that as long as you have this sword, at night, this night, you will be victorious. So by having Lord Shiva's blessing, he has gone to the Pandavas' camp. And in the same night, evening, Lord Krishna said to the Pandavas, okay, today we are not going to rest here in the camp. Let's go somewhere. We will discuss something very secret, and we will not, you know, stay here. So Krishna already know what is happening, so he took the Pandavas away from there. And rest, they lived. And then Aswatthama said that, I will enter every tent and I will kill, and you stay outside and you attack anybody comes from outside. So there was one Akshayani soldier still left. They attack very cowardly and cruelly, killed the five sons of Draupadi as well as the one Akshayani, means I think a million or so something of the soldiers. And what happened at night, they couldn't understand who is attacking, though they started attacking on each other and they got killed, mostly. And here, by seeing this scene, Draupadi is weeping and crying, and Arjuna has vowed that I will get this Brahman, his head, and then only you take shower and you take bath and you can do all the rituals. But until then, you wait. So this was the bit background. Today also, the disappearance day of Srila Devanand Pandit. And we'll speak a little bit about Srila Devanand Pandit. Devanand Pandit was one of the associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his pastime. Devanand Pandit used to be a very big scholar. He's that big scholar. He was giving the class of Srimad Bhagavatam every day. His class was mostly meant for the Mayavad, you know, philosophers, not actually for the devotees. So he had so many disciples. Those are like Devanand Pandit. This is the beginning of Devanand Pandit. Although he has seen the Nimai, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but he was not so much into that time to associate with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, one day he was giving the Bhagavatam class, and this day specially, Srila Srivas Pandit has come to hear the class. So there was a sensitive discussion about the Bhagavatam, the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Srila Srivas Pandit got really, really emotional. It is important to explain that a devotee of the Lord can get eight kind of different symptoms called astasattvika vikar. out of ashtasattvic vikar, someone can cry and it is unstoppable. All of a sudden the tear comes. Boys can be choked, roll on the ground, hair can stand at the end, getting the goosebumps. All this the ashtasattvic vikar. So that was happening to Srivas Pandit, and he was rolling on the ground. By seeing these activities, the disciples of Devanand Pandit pick him up, Srivas Pandit, and put him outside. So Srivas Pandit was out, and he didn't say anything. He just quietly walked to the house and never discussed this thing with anyone. This is according to Chaitanya Bhagavat, of course. And Srivas Pandit was living at present in Navadvip. There was a village called Kolio, and he was living there. And in that place, at this moment, the Chaitanya Saraswata Gaudiya Math is located. So we can see that area where Srivas Pandit, and close to Bakreswar Pandit's father's house. So Maheshwar Visarad, he used to be close to Devanand Pandit's house. So anyways, once he was giving the Bhagavatam class, and Mahaprabhu was just walking with his associates, and he saw Devanand Pandit was giving the Bhagavatam class, but no devotion, no service of, doesn't discuss about the service of their lordship. He is not discussing about the Supreme Personality of Godhead properly. And Mahaprabhu got very angry, and he chastised Srivas Pandit that, "You are a fool, you are a rascal. How could you speak about Bhagavatam and you are not speaking about the devotional service of their lordship? This is, you know, this is the symptom of a fool. You yourself consider you are a Pandit, but you are not a Pandit, you are not a Shastri, you are a fool." So he chastised. Devanand Pandit, he hear the chastise, but he didn't say anything to Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu then, he said that, "I don't want to stay here anymore, even a minute. I want to leave." So he left. Then we have to know that this, you know, ashtasattvic vikar is according to the Vedic scriptures. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, "Romancha kampasru taranga bhaja bande guru sri charanarvindam." The guru has all the eight symptoms. Romancha, the hair stands at the end. Kampasru, then the tear flows from the eyes. And then body is shaking, trembling. These are the symptoms. And in other shastras also, even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he himself says, "Nayanat galajastru dharaya badanam gadagad rudhaya agira pulakai nichitam bapu kada taba nama grahane bhavishyati." O my Lord, when will be the day comes that my eyes will full of tear by thinking about you, by chanting your holy name? "Nayanat galadasru dharaya badanam gadgada rudhaya gira," and my voice will be choked while I am chanting and thinking about you. So these are the symptoms of the ashtasattvic vikar. So here Devanand Pandit didn't say anything. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu leaves, and then after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has left, at one point Bakreswar Pandit, one of the great associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, has come to Devanand Pandit's house, and Devanand Pandit served Bakreswar Pandit. If someone doesn't know about Bakreswar Pandit, Bakreswar Pandit was very good for singing and dancing. The way he will sing and dance the holy names, that he will chant the bhajans of the Lord, and as well as singing the holy name, chanting the holy name, and he will dance. He was very reputed for that. One day he was dancing in Navadvip and singing, and the crowd becomes so big to see Bakreswar Pandit dancing and singing. And they come, he was dancing, and the crowd came very close to the personal space. And Devanand Pandit, he had a stick, and he was pushing everyone back to their own place so that the dancing and chanting can take place without any hindrance. So anyways, he started serving, and what happened at the end of the dancing, Bakreswar Pandit, he fell on the ground and he was rolling. He has no consciousness that time. Totally absorbed with the transcendental pleasure of their lordship. So he couldn't understand anything what's happening. Then Devanand Pandit took him on his arm, take his chadar, and wiping all the dust from his body when he was on the ground. There was so much dust because he was sweating also. So by that way, there was so much service he has done. And by doing the service, the Lord accepted Devanand Pandit into his associates. Before that, he was not accepted because he was an offender. He came, then one day, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after taking the sannyas, 5 years after taking the sannyas, he has come back to Navadvip. He was sitting, everyone was coming who has committed offense to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They were asking forgiveness. And Devanand Pandit also approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He quietly paid obeisances and he was walking away. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu shouted at him, "Devanand Pandit, come here." He has no other way, he has to come. So he came, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that, "I have forgiven you for your mistakes, for your offenses. But please go to Srivas Pandit, Srivas, and he has to forgive you. Without his forgiving, there is no way you can develop your relationship with Krishna. So you need to really, really go and ask for forgiveness." This is the way a Vaishnava should supposed to be. Ask forgiveness. If he has committed an offense knowingly or unknowingly, it's very important that he has to ask forgiveness to the Vaishnava. Otherwise, the whole devotion has stopped there. The chanting, when we will chant, our chanting will not concentrate on our chanting, will not think about Krishna. There will be so many problems if we commit an offense at the lotus feet of a Vaishnava. Srila Narottam Das Thakur says, "Hari stane aparadhe tare hari namo, tumastane aparadhe nahi paritrano." He's saying that if you offend to Lord Krishna at the lotus feet of Krishna, you chant the holy name. If you committed an offense in the holy dham, you chant the holy name and that can protect you. The offense will be taken. But if you commit an offense at a Vaishnava, there is no way you can be surviving. We can here have the example of Durvasa and Ambarish. Durvasa, a great saintly person, but very angry. He got angry with King Ambarish and he wanted to kill him. But the Sudarshan came to protect Ambarish. Ambarish was a normal devotee. He was protected by Sudarshan. And Durvasa has run away for his life. He has gone, taken the shelter at the lotus feet of Vishnu. Vishnu said that, "What can I do? I can't protect you. I don't have the power to protect you. Aham bhakta paradhina. I am totally dependent on my devotees, the great devotees. the only person can protect you is Ambarish. You go to him and ask for forgiveness what you have done. So that way, similarly here, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself is saying, the same Lord Vishnu is saying here, or Krishna saying here to Devanand Pandit, go and ask for forgiveness. And as we know that Srivas Pandit is the ocean of mercy, so he would never take any offense so easily. So he came and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was there, then Devanand Pandit was forgiven immediately. And then he became associate of Bakreshwar Pandit and the other associates of the Lord. It is also the Gaura Ganadesh Deepika. It explains that Devanand Pandit is not an ordinary human being. He was in Krishna's pastime. His name was Bhandir Muni. And he was the close associate of Nanda Maharaj. He was a great scholar, and he was always the chief scholar who was sitting in the court of Nanda Maharaj. So it is, he has the connection from the very long distance. This kind of pastimes generally doesn't take place with the normal devotees. They are the Nitya Siddhas, these devotees. Devanand Pandit is not an ordinary person. He was a Nitya Siddha. So he was coming all the way from, the history says that, you know, he was the Bhandir Muni, the greatest scholar in Nanda Maharaj's court. So this way, Devanand Pandit's offense was forgiven. So we'll stop here.